Okay. So yesterday we left off at Vomitivo. Did we finish talking about that? Like, how did you do? No, we didn't even. We're picking up right in the middle.
We didn't talk about his experience, just that he hates vomiting and was, and if he goes back, he wants
He wants to
he
fix
wants
it.
the credits. He wants
Fast
the
credits.
credits to transfer.
I would like to matriculate my experience.
Well, welcome back to Wake Up the Podcast, where we have just discovered that we only got halfway into our discussion on the Vomitivo. Michael was talking about how he wants past credit for his Vomitivo experience if he ever goes again, because he hated it.
That's a way to start the podcast.
Welcome. Let's talk about vomit.
I was one of the first to run up there. I like literally ran up there to beat everybody because I
Yeah, he
was like,
did.
I am absolutely going into the first round. Like I didn't wait for them to call. Like I wasn't like we were about to vomit in front of everybody. Like I wasn't waiting for them to pick me. I straight went right to the bucket and was like, let's do it.
Do you remember when I was telling my story and I was like, a bunch of people just ran up there and I was like, shit, now I have to listen to them?
Yeah.
Yeah, my husband is one of them. He just goes, I'm going.
I told her.
I'm
Yeah. I
going
said,
up
I'm going.
there.
And I went, like, I'm not waiting for them to invite me to do this.
He left me
Like,
there.
I was, oh man, that,
He picked whichever one of the, did you pick whichever one felt
yeah,
like the most soft?
I thought I did. I thought I picked soft. He was not soft. He was
You
the one
prejudged.
that was like, no, I know what the deep gut throw up is, and that's not it. Like he knew a specific,
Yeah, he had a sound
I
he
don't
was
know,
waiting for.
sound, color, I don't know what he was waiting for, but he was waiting for something specific.
Okay, so how many cups did you take down?
I think I hit 7, 8 cups.
Oh my God.
And these are like
Like a
32 ounce
spaghetti?
cups. What?
32 ounce
What are they,
cups.
24 ounce? Dude, they were not small cups.
Was it like a bar cup, right?
No, these were like the old the old like Pizza Hut Coca-Cola
Yeah, yeah,
cups,
yeah. Yeah, how
the
much is
red
the Pizza
ones.
Hut cup? You remember
They're
the
like
red Pizza Hut
24,
cup? That's what
32
it was.
ounce.
It's probably a lot. It's probably
Okay,
close to
it's enough.
24
Okay.
ounce. Yeah,
All right.
yeah.
All right. I stand corrected then. I thought it was probably like 16 ounces.
Yeah.
And they call it tea. It's just they call it, they go drink the
That's
tea. I'm like,
exactly what
there's
Lindsay
nothing
said.
tea about this.
That's exactly what I said.
It was just
Not
like
tea.
warm lemongrass water.
Like a
And
bucket.
But do you have lemongrass trauma?
Yeah, do you have lemongrass
Lindsay
trauma?
said she had
No,
that.
actually I don't. I just
Lingering trauma when you put it on.
don't want to drink that much of it again. Like it was a lot of lemongrass water.
Yeah.
So,
All right, well, he
and
made it
it
through.
was like forcing me to purge, you know, and like I don't necessarily throw up. And so like this was forcing a throw up and I don't know. Oof.
Oh.
Moving on.
Okay. So that day leading up to first ceremony, I am freaking the fuck out. What are you doing? I'm trying to stay calm,
Yeah.
but
You know, I think since for the first one, when they limited us to one shot, I wasn't too concerned. Just because others that have done ceremony prior were telling us the amount that they had taken in order for them to get
take off.
to take off. Yeah, exactly. And so they said since my use of THC that the one glass probably wouldn't do too much either. So I was feeling actually a little excited just so I could get this first initial experience under my belt. So that way I could get all the thoughts out of my head of what was going to happen, you know, and how it was going to proceed, you know. So all my questions were answered in the first one. So it was actually putting me at ease the closer we got to it because it was finally going to happen. It was finally, there was no more what's going to happen, it was going to happen. Yeah. And like, there was no backing out. I mean, like there is backing out. Like you could, you have to sit in ceremony, but you are never required to take the medicine. But you do have to sit and respect the space and be with everyone, because ultimately that is what you did sign up for, the experience, and no need for you to ruin it for anybody. So, and that,
nobody
that
wants
was
to
actually
do the walk of shame.
Yeah. And actually, you know what, that was a huge relief too, for some reason, is when they said, hey, listen, you don't have to take the medicine. You could sit through ceremony. Never a problem. And that was, I think, a huge relief, if not for a lot of people, at least for me, just because I was like, okay, like this is what a great place I found. You know, mm-hmm. this is a very supportive environment. And it actually made going into ceremony the first time much easier.
You're right.
Much that easier. Because there was no pressure, right? They took it off of you. And they would love you and support you the same as if you proceeded with the medicine. You know, so I loved it. So I already did talk about one yesterday,
yeah.
I think. So ceremony two, you know, after the meeting with the maestros, I think is about where I left off on the last podcast.
Okay.
Is that correct, Liz? Okay. And so ceremony two, should I just, yeah, I mean.
I would say, yeah, you're.
Just jump
yeah,
into
you
it.
Your, yeah, like what happened to you on ceremony two? Okay. So let's start with, yeah, let's start from the beginning. There.
Yeah, yeah.
Ceremony too.
So just go and just like, hey, okay, it's night. We're in the Maloka.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And yeah, that night it was long. Like it to start for the maestros to set the space. That was taking a minute. And so when they called everyone up for the medicine, I went up and asked for it was a shot and a half is what we agreed upon. And then I said, they brought out like a glass water cup and they filled that close to the top. And that was a shot and a half. So we went to the first maestro. So I went to the first maestro and I had our two facilitators with me. And we went through the same blessing that we had gone through the night before. And I thought that was it. I was like, okay, I'm going to take my shot. But then they said, no, you need to follow this facilitator around and go to the other maestro. She's going to give you your blessing. And I was like, okay, all right. Yeah, hey, this is the blessing. And this maestro that I went to, she was the plant maestro. That was her specialty, was the plants.
Aromas.
Mm. And so I went over to her and I knelt before her and she grabbed my cup and started singing into the tea. And yeah, and she was just going whispering and singing and it was beautiful. And I was, you know, trying to be present and thankful and receive this blessing from her. And then she was blessing it for, it felt like 5 minutes. It felt like the rest of the room had already gone through.
It was a while.
Had already like, gone through there. Exactly. It took a while. And so she blessed it and gave it to me and I took it down in front of her and it was the end of the bottle. And so it gets real sedimenty.
Oh.
And so not only was it like a water glass that I was trying to slam of burnt prune juice heavy on the raisin, it was also the sediment. So, which that was meant to be, right? I got the bottom of the barrel. I got all the fermented.
Everything it kind of goes just around, because like I talked about how they start in a different place every night.
Yeah.
You kind of like start to do the math of like, am I going to get the bottom of this one or will I get the top of the next one?
It's like extra strength at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. Extra strength. Yeah. You get something to chew. You get a little
bonus
treat at the end. So I took it and extremely grateful. And I went back to my mat and continue to finish. Everyone received their medicine, their tea. And then the maestros came together and they start blessing the place, preparing themselves for the ceremony that's about to begin. And that seemed very long time. And you don't go and ask for additional ayahuasca tea until the maestras have left the center of the circle and have gone to individual blessings. Ikaro. And so you sit in your space, and nothing was happening with me. And this was about, I felt an hour and a half go by, and I just felt, okay, if this, right, this is liquid, I drank it. Usually it metabolizes in 20 minutes. Like, this should be hour and a half, right?
This is like such a classic pot mistake too, what you're about to reveal.
Yeah.
This is people who go to Colorado for the first time.
I'll just take another gummy.
I can't feel it. Yep.
Listen, I'm someone that likes to test the limits, and then I start bringing it back. I want to know what's the max, and then I know how to dial it back. I've never done this before. So,
and you had extra motivation not to sit in the dark, since his ego was behind him being like, you suck at this too.
There were so many things. And also what happened in group share. Yeah. That the maestros were so, you know, giving me an additional blessing on top of it. Like, I just felt like
there was a lot of stuff compounding.
Like I created my own pressure. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm going to force this to happen.
Oh, it's happening.
It's going to happen tonight. Like, I'm not getting a blessing and going to sit in the dark. So hour and a half, 2 hours, I don't even know how long goes by. But then I was like the second or third that they started with. So when they broke off, I couldn't go for another round, because I did not want to leave my mat and then not be there for the maestro. Like, oh gosh, could you imagine that? Like,
yeah. You try to time it. Like, can I get up? Oh, I can't, because I can't see how close she is, but I know she's right here. So
she's close enough. Yeah. I'm not leaving in an empty mat. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
And so by the time she made it over to me, it was the same maestra, the aroma plant maestra that had previously blessed my tea for me. She came and she performed her Icaros, and I still felt fine. But towards the end of it, it felt like someone jumped and wrapped their arms behind me.
So you're just sitting there tight, like, I'm being grateful. Oh, I'm hearing the song.
Yeah, I'm sitting there just,
you don't feel sick?
No, not. I felt sober. I felt
sober.
Completely fine. The first time.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The first maestro, I felt fine.
Sober, he said. Yeah. Okay.
And so she's singing to me, and I was just like taking it in. I was trying to be like really listening to her words and like let it in, and like trying to let go, really trying to say, like, Mike, let down your walls, man. Like, let this in, mm-hmm. You know, let this in. I felt like I was operating still at a very high functioning level.
Well, you would know.
And then in the middle of this, though, and all of our backs are facing the wall. So we sit in a circle and your back's facing the wall. So there's no one behind you. You just have a neighbor to the left or right of you, or both. And so she's in the middle of singing. And then it felt like someone just jumped and wrapped their arms around me really tight, really hard, really fast, and then let go. And it just like shot me like up, like, whoa, what happened? I was like looking around. I was like, okay.
Who's the motherfucker?
Yeah, I still think I'm fine. I still think I'm functioning fine, everybody. I still think I'm operating at a high level, right? But yet someone just jumped, hugged me, threw their knee in my back. They're not there. So she finishes the Icaro, extremely grateful, you know, gave as much respect as I possibly could. She moved on, and as soon as I thought it was a respectable amount of time, I shot up from my mat and I was going to go get another shot. But then I was like, you know, I have to go to the bathroom. And if I grab another drink and then sit down, like, I don't want to pee myself. So I didn't know. So I went to the bathroom and I came back.
I didn't ever see you walk by me.
Yeah.
Did you look down at me? Would you look at me when you left?
No. I didn't. No, because I didn't want to take on. So at that moment I was like, I looked down and again, I thought I was high functioning. So I was like, I don't need my red light. And I was just like scurrying along across the thing. I can see in the dark. I'm so good. Like, look at me. I'm so sober. Like,
scurrying.
You know, so I like zip across the Maloka and I didn't want to look at anyone consciously because I was still afraid, like, hey, maybe I would take on someone's energy. Like, I don't know. I just want to get my job done and get back.
Okay, got it.
And so I did. So I went there and I went back. And right when I sat down with the facilitator, I kind of startled him. And he was like, whoa. And he looked at me and he's like, are you okay, Michael? And I was like, yep, I'm totally fine. I feel great. I need another shot. And he goes, okay. And he goes, how much would you like? And I go, a half. And he gave me a solid full one. Like,
I love it.
The metric and imperial,
it's
just
it's very laid back. They're measuring off with their heart, we like to say.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, let's do it. So I slam it. And I get up and I thank him and I move. And right when I sit down, I go, uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
Right when I sat down, the first shot was really kicking in. And I was like, oh, man. And I just took another one.
Here we go.
Yeah.
To the moon?
Yeah, I wasn't quite there yet, but I did, a little bit of fear came in because I was like, was the water glass, was that my max? And I just crossed the line? Or is this water glass with the additional shot the max? I guess we'll find out because I just took the water glass and the additional shot. So I sit there and I think I wrote in, I'll look at it later in my journal, but it felt like I was getting a scan, like inside my body. Like it just started like scanning, like turn on like little
like lights on, scanners, lights like, off, like what's inside happening.
And it
here?
Was like, you know, like moving around. And I was like, and it was just a feeling I never experienced before, but it wasn't scary or didn't hurt or anything. It was just like a different sensation. And I was like, wow.
What were you seeing? Anything?
I wasn't seeing anything. I was feeling. I mean, everything was just getting darker, I think, around me. And that's when the maestra, the one that was sitting next to me in group share, that first said, I got this. I see it. I see where it is. Mm-hmm. I got this, mm-hmm. Right? And so she came and she performed her Icaros in front of me, her normal blessing. And then the facilitator came.
Wait, hold on. How did you feel when you were getting your blessing from her?
Yeah.
Because she had just like crushed me half the night before. Yeah. She left me a rag doll and then came around to you. And you're going to tell me you sat right through it?
No. So that's when, you know, everything, the medicine was really kicking in. And I felt everything almost like a, interesting enough, I said a pulsing sensation. And she's the maestra of the heart. But it was just through her Icaro, it was like a, I just remember my whole body was pulsing and pulsing, like on certain aspects of her grew.
Yeah, you can like feel it.
The body would pulse at certain parts of it. And it just felt like in that time, I just felt like it was like scanning, setting me up, you know, like a weird, again, a feeling I hadn't quite felt before. Yeah. So she was about to move on. And then the facilitator was like, oh, this is the one that needs the additional, that we're giving the additional blessing, whatever additional blessing said. This is he.
Right.
And so the facilitator came to one side of me and the maestro came to the other side. So now I no longer have my neighbors that I once had. They're replaced by the facilitator on one side and the maestro, because usually the maestro sits at she comes at the end of
the
foot of your mat, and she moved to the side. And this whole time it was drilled into us, which absolutely rightful, to stand attention for out of respect to the maestress. So I kept sitting up and the facilitator is like, Michael, you need to lay down. She put me down and I shot right back up. Like, I no longer thought I was 100% sober. So I shot up and she's like, Michael, you need to lay down. And she lays me down and I shoot right back up. She lays me down and a little more forcefully says, you need to lay down so she could perform the blessing. So, okay, I got it. And the maestra then brings over her bag. She has this bag with her and there's like these bottles in there.
Like her perfumes or perfumes, whatever.
Yeah. She starts another Icaro over me. And as she's doing this, she's like doing the Icaro and she's pouring these liquids right onto my chest. I have no shirt on. I'm laying down and she's kneeling like she's on the side of me, leaning over me, and she's singing her Icaros. And then she's pouring these liquids onto my chest, onto my body, which never drip on the mat.
That's wild.
They never dripped on the mat. They never poured over. It wasn't like all this liquid all over the place. Not at all. Don't know where it went. She pours it on me and she picks these two spots on my chest. And she's pouring this liquid and then she starts slurping the liquid.
Yeah.
Right on my chest.
She like put her mouth on his chest and like sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the story. That's brilliant.
An ayahuasca body shot. I like it.
Just turned into a club scene. God, this is so fucking irreverent. It's like it's important and it's extremely difficult thing. And
he's never coming on with us again.
I know. He's going to say no.
He's going to say no next time we ask him to come on. He's going to say no.
Yeah. So she basically like sucked it up.
And then she's like manipulating those areas, you know, and she's singing her Icaros and praying and she's, yeah. Because at one point she's not singing, she's just, it feels like praying, and she's like manipulating those same spots that she was sucking on. And then she pours more liquid and she's sucking those same two spots. And then she spits the perfume, the liquids, back into her bucket.
Yeah, so the maestros also have a bucket that they take with them.
Yeah. So she performs this blessing over me and... I'll just interrupt because I absolutely didn't say this. When I'm laying down and she starts, right when she starts singing the Icaros, and Lindsay can attest to this, and if you don't believe me, that's yours. It started thundering, like right at that moment. Mm-hmm. Like it started lightning, the weather completely changed. Things just got extremely loud outside. Like it wasn't lost on me. Like I laid down, I was like, And I remember saying to myself, like, wow, remember this moment. Like, this is a wild moment that it starts lightning and getting loud. And it felt like the jungle got louder and the wind picked up. And it just really was a unreal, surreal moment. So she finishes performing this amazing blessing on me. And then she gets to her bucket and she is purging herself. I mean, for
just retching into the bucket.
Yeah, retching, coughing.
I could hear it. It was like, I was very aware of what was happening over there on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
It was him?
Mm-hmm. I did, because it was directly across from me.
Yeah.
And I knew that she had done an Icarus, and I knew there was something else that was going on over there, because it wasn't the regular cadence. Like, I knew. Different, I was like, oh, this must be Michael's thing.
Yeah, it was like a significant shift in the ceremony. Like, I felt you could feel the shift, the change. And so she's purging on her own, and this lasts for a while, and I'm just laying there. Like, I immediately felt where these two areas she was manipulating, and she sucked the liquid out of. I felt like I just had these openings in me, and I was just like oozing darkness out. And with every, it was just like relief upon relief upon my body. And it was just like, she just opened up these two holes in me that was allowing that darkness I was talking about to make its way out, to leave. And it felt like I got some breath back. I could feel lightness in my body. I mean, it truly was amazing. So I'm laying there in this amazing feeling and feeling completely blessed. Just could not believe that she did this for me. And she's over here, poor thing, is retching next to me, like just losing it. So she ends, and she's gathering up her things to move on. And I'm like, I have to get up. Like, I have to get up and thank her for this. And so I shoot up, because that's the only way I know how. I can't go slowly. So I just like explode up. And I'm like, just thank you. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And love, and just trying to send, love to her. And she accepted my thanks. And as she scoots over, and I'm still just looking at her and thanking her, because like, wow, like what an amazing thing. Like, this woman physically put herself on me to help heal me. Mm-hmm. Like, she sucked liquid off of my chest to benefit me, you know, and that's amazing. So I was just thanking her, and she moved on. She stopped in the middle between me and my neighbor, and she went to light her mopacho,
which I think is for grounding, right? So she's like regrounding herself, preparing to move on to the next person, because there's more people she has to do. There's like another half of the room, basically.
Yeah, like a little bit of a cleansing.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think grounding herself, preparing herself, you know, so she could be in the present moment for the next individual. Mm-hmm. And so right when I'm looking at her and she gets ready to light her mopacho, she hits her cigarette lighter and it lights up the room, right? Because lighters are not red lights. They will spark up. And the nice thing, you know, it's only about a foot wide, a light, and it lights up her face. And it's my grandmother. Like, not like, oh, you remind me of my grandmother. No, like, she had she was my grandmother. Like, my mother's mom was her. Like, not look like her. It was her. It was my grandmother.
Who you did not expect to see.
Not at all.
It was not even on the radar of someone that might come through.
She wasn't even in the David Letterman's top 10 of who would come through.
100% just aged yourself.
Yeah, that's fine. Because well, Lindsay and talks about it all the time.
I know. I can't get over it. I still love. I know. I do. I love it.
Because you have an old, very old wife.
But truly, one of the last individuals I thought that I would see. I mean, and it blew me away. It shocked me. And I was like, I think I said something like, what? And I was like, Nana? And then I fell back on my mat. Like, I was just literally blown back. My head just started swirling. The medicine's working. The blessing happened. I'm feeling, you know, the two holes in my body and this darkness lifting. And I'm laying there in this interesting position. And I'm looking at my feet. And I have this sense over me like I'm dying. And I felt that, like, great peace and no fear. When leading into this, one of my biggest fears is dying. Like, I was really someone that's extremely afraid of dying. And I remember laying there being in no fear and bliss, just accepting it. And I was like, I'm dying. And then I kind of chuckled. But I was looking at my feet. And as I was looking at my feet and thinking I'm dying and just going through this and feeling the complete bliss and feeling this darkness leave and just all the emotions going through, as I'm looking at my feet change. And it's a different color. My feet are huge. And then I see my hands. And my hands are huge.
This is eyes open.
Eyes open?
Eyes open. He's looking at his hands, and his hands are not his, and his feet are not his.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I was laying there having those moments of bliss and thankfulness, looking at my feet, and then my feet changed. And then my hands changed. And then I was in... I was in this, like, wooded, like, forest, extremely lush. And I was in what I assumed is my garden, because I was gardening. I was in this big, like, mountainous, felt like I was by water. You know, it was very, like, foresty.
Like, and a primitive garden?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was just this big, huge man. And I was in the garden and my hands are in the soil. And the soil is like crazy rich. It's just beautiful soil. And there was this the same peace I was feeling with the no fear and dying and this bliss leading up to this moment. I was in that moment. And it was just, I came out of it. And my word for this whole experience was harmony. And that's the best way to describe it. Everything was in perfect harmony. Everything made sense. It was just beautiful. It was peaceful and just amazing. And then, next thing I know, I'm laying there dying. And I have these two huge, like, spears.
Well, wait, you said you were looking at your feet?
Correct.
And then did you look up your body and see those spears? Or you just,
No.
They became into you?
So I was in my garden. Like, at one moment, I'm in my garden working. And my hands were working the soil, right? And I was just in my perfect joy, harmony. It was me and the dirt, felt one, mm-hmm. felt oneness. Mm-hmm. yeah, felt one with God, like knew who I was in my relationship with my God. You know, like this, it was just complete bliss. It was truly like perfection. It's beautiful. And then next thing I know, I'm laying.
Got it.
I'm laying down in the same position that I was in the Maloka. And this time I'm looking at my feet, and it's still the feet of this big man. And there, and I was just reading in my journal. Remember, I was hearing a name. It was like Sasa, Sasa. That's all I was starting like.
I remember it. Yeah.
And I'm looking at my feet, and I'm laying there, and then I see these two, where those holes were that the maestro opened up. There was these two big, thick, like big, thick tree branch, like spears stuck into my body. And I was sitting there looking at him and just like knowing I was dying. And I wasn't in fear of dying. I wasn't like, I was still in like harmony, but I was angry because, sorry, you say this out loud and and you know where it's about to go and you know, there's hesitation. So I'm laying there and I remember seeing like my village and people like laying down, like dying, like my village, like they were fallen. They were laying down. The village was burning. There was fires. And I was laying there and I was just angry. And I was saying, these jackals. And it was like this. My village was this perfect harmony. I keep saying it, but it was this village that lived in oneness with God. Like, we lived in love. There wasn't an ounce of darkness in our village, and it was beautiful. But there was others, tribes out there that didn't like that, and they could never defeat us. I'm only laughing because I'm nervous saying this. This is extremely vulnerable, and I'm okay with saying it. It just takes a little to get it out.
Imagine it like a dream.
Okay.
Right? Because it's a vision, right?
Okay. It's a great vision.
It's a vision. Okay. This is the vision. It's like a dream. Okay. And it comes to you like a dream, where obviously he's morphed from being in a garden to being dead. Like it's dreamlike. So follow us like a dream.
There you go.
And here we go. So
my village is
these
burning.
Motherfucker jackals.
And these jackals. And that's the best. That's how I described them. That's what I was saying to I was calling them in the moment. Even after ceremony had ended, I was still calling them jackals. I think I was still I still refer to them as jackals. That's the only way that the only thing that comes is I was referring to them as jackals.
They had no honor.
And I was mad that they didn't have honor, that they wouldn't meet us in a fight, you know, because they couldn't meet us because we were just protecting ourselves. So we would act decisively and swiftly. And we lived in love, like we lived in great harmony. We weren't a threat to anybody. We would just handle, we would protect our village, mm-hmm. and our way of life. And for some reason, they didn't want, they wanted to insert darkness into my tribe. Mm-hmm. And they snuck up and killed me in my garden and snuck into our village and killed our people on a sneak and burned the village.
Motherfucker jackals.
Yeah, I was so fired up.
So fast forward to the end of, he's going to go back and tell you the rest of it, but at the end of this, when he comes and gets me off of my mat, the whole way back up, and when we got back into the room, he was like, had taken like basically 4 shots of ayahuasca at this point, so it's still fully alive and well in him as we're coming back. And he's in the room and he's retelling me, and he's like, those jackals, they had no honor. He was so mad at them. It was like, he was like in it. He was in it. Like there's just was no escaping, like being emotionally connected to the moment.
Yeah. Because, I just remembered, like, I had no fear of death. Like again, I was so connected to God that there was no fear of death. There was no problem in dying. There was no, like, that wasn't the problem. It's mm-hmm. just this darkness, bringing in darkness, and this is sneak and not honorable way, you know, just dirty, you know.
Which you still, I would say, in this life, you highly value.
Correct.
Honor. I don't think it's not out of reach.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Very true. Then I'm looking over, and I remember looking over, and I'm laying there dying. And then I look over the other way, you know, and I see like my gardening staff, wooden staff. That's like big gardening, like a walking stick, is like sitting there. And then in the distance is like my sword and stuff, like, you know, like it was just right there. Like I could see my armor, and they snuck up and killed me. And so the poles, spears, were in the same 2 spots that the maestro had opened up in me. And then fast forward, we're at my burial ceremony. And
you're watching your burial ceremony.
I'm there. I could see the ceremony being performed on me, and those that are still alive are there. And it's the medicine woman that is performing our ceremony, our specific ceremony to, you know, move me to the next life. And it's my grandmother.
Surprise.
Yeah.
So your grandmother in this life,
yep,
is performing your burial ceremony from this vision.
Correct.
Got it.
And, you know, she didn't look too different from what she looked like in this life to that life.
Interesting.
So she's performing. And in this life, she is my grandmother as well as my medicine woman. That was there. That felt. She was not only my grandmother, she was our medicine woman as well. And she had these hawk feathers in her hair. And on our armor was the hawk as well. So she's performing the ceremony, and we get attacked again. And these jackals, they steal my body so that my grandmother wouldn't be able to finish the ceremony.
That you would need to move into the next realm or whatever. Like,
yeah, like
I think a lot of cultures have this process.
Yeah, bring closure and move my soul on, right? To release my soul from this earth and into the next, you know, and they came in and stole my body from her. And I remember my grandmother being completely like devastated, like sadness in her. And then I got really angry. And I was like thinking to myself in that moment, is this the anger that's been trapped in me for so long? Is this finally what I get to release? Is my grandmother here now in the form of the maestra to help to provide closure? Mm-hmm. Did I need to come here to receive this? Mm-hmm. So it was very like, it was amazing. It was amazing. But I was like so angry at how could they do this to me? How could they do this to us? And, you know, and they just wanted I came out and I told you, right? Like, they wanted to bring darkness into us.
Yeah, they wanted to insert darkness into his family line. So they wanted to insert, what he was saying was that they wanted to insert darkness into his like DNA, basically, that anything that followed would have that darkness in it, right? Like they're passing on the light, which is consistent with what all that we're finding and everything that I'm reading right now about family trauma and generational trauma, is that it's passed down through our DNA. Like, here's what you need to know before you become a human.
It's right out of It Didn't Start With You.
Right.
The book, right? It's right out of It Didn't Start With You. I mean, the stories at the beginning are
exactly that. Yeah.
You know.
Okay. So then following that experience where you basically see yourself pass on into the between, like you had a life in this vision and then you die in this vision, you're in whatever is behind the veil, you're in whatever is next.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that change how you are seeing your current life? Do you believe that this is like a real past life, or do you think it's symbolic? Like, what are your... I haven't talked a lot about past life stuff, so I guess this gives us the chance to kind of get into it if we want to. What are your feelings about that now after this experience?
Yeah, after this experience, so I went into that one with setting my intention with it. Show me who I am. And then I got that. And with that also, you know, quite a few answers of things that had been lingering gone with me. When I sit in it, like when I retell the story right now, it's so real. When I was in it, in the moment I was in it, it was so real. It was like the most real dream you've had, but it wasn't like a dream. It's hard to explain how it was. It wasn't like a dream. It was like a download.
It's like a dream you're aware of.
Dream you're aware of, but you're given it. It felt like just this download, this like vision, like kind of all at once. And then your brain processed it over time, you know? Like, it was like, here's this huge vision of like a huge painting landscape of everything that happened. Here it is. And then it, like, my brain was just like breaking it down, like reliving it. And it felt so real. And when I come back and retell it, when I think about it, it's still extremely vivid. It's not a dream that you forget. When I talk about it,
it doesn't feel hazy.
I feel like I know who I am, you know?
It feels not hazy. I agree with that. I agree with mm-hmm. that. The stuff that it feels dreamlike because it feels like impossible. Of course, my eyes weren't looking at my anatomical heart, right? But like,
and my
also,
were...
it was. Mm-hmm. It feels real, but dreamlike in the fact that like my I can't do that. Like I can't look at my own heart right now, right?
Correct. Yeah, correct. And physically, my eyes were open the whole time.
This is eyes open, everything that you saw.
Yeah, my eyes were open, like fully open. My eyes weren't closed. My eyes were open. They were open. I laid in that prone, that position. I don't even know for how many hours, but I was in there. My eyes were open when I was getting all this, when this was all playing out, when this was coming out. And like I said, I kept hearing sasa. And then towards the ceremony, it was just coming clearer and clearer, and it was saying Santi, like something was whispering Santi.
So weird. So do you believe then that was a past life? Do you believe that was real? Like you experienced that?
Yes.
In consciousness?
I do.
Did you believe in past life before you went and did this?
I never took it out of the possibility. I never said, no, I don't believe in that, but I'm a pretty skeptical person to begin with. And I have tried past life meditations and other things, breath work stuff with you and without you. And nothing had ever come. Not even close.
Yeah. Not even, you had hard experiences when we did breath work and any kind of like a past life or a guided meditation.
Yeah.
You would fall asleep or get lost or
my head would get like so defensive about it. Like so many roadblocks. Like it just, I could never get into the headspace properly for it.
And I have had the opposite experience where when I go and do breath work, I can see lots of things. When I sit in meditation for a long time, I can see lots of things. Like I have had a lot of experiences doing that stuff. And a few, maybe 3 years ago, I had this experience where I decided I was going to just try to do a past life regression.
Were we still in Colorado?
I think so.
Yeah, 3-4 years ago.
I had read a book that made me like super curious about past life stuff, but I had actually said, I don't believe in that. Like I hadn't had proof, like, or hadn't had a remembrance of any past life. I was like, I have like full amnesia here in this life. Like I don't have any remembrances of past lives. Like so many people say that they have, and I've had people come up to me and tell me stuff about my past life. And I have no, like, I don't relate with that because I haven't seen that. Right. But I was kind of open and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get super baked. I'm going to take 100 milligrams of THC and I am going to see if I can have a past life regression, while I'm getting a massage.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that?
Uh huh.
So I decided, like, I don't know, when I get a massage, I get super relaxed when I love getting massages.
I tried it too.
Yes. You tried it there. You fell asleep. So I decided I'm going to do it during a massage because I'll stay awake. I don't fall asleep when somebody is giving me a massage. Like I'll go to another place for a little bit, but I'm still like conscious and aware. And like, I know they're going to tell me to turn over and I need to be aware to be able to do that stuff. Right. And I don't want to snore.
Yeah.
I try not to snore.
I fell. That's what I'm really, I'm afraid for them to judge me. I don't want to do it wrong. And so I decide I'm going to do this and I'm going to feel really good. And if it doesn't work, whatever, but if it does, I'm just going to leave my earbuds in. And I'm going to try this because it's exactly the amount of minutes that my massage would be. I'm just going to turn it on and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I did this past life regression and I had an hour and 15 minutes of a vision of me walking through almost an entire life. And the craziest thing about what I saw was in that life, Michael was my dad. So in that vision that I had, whatever it was, that meditation, that regression, I was up on this hillside and I run down because I know my dad is here. And I'm like a kid. I'm like a little girl. And I run down this hill and I run into this like village that's by a river. And it's little like houses, hut things, rudimentary, not definitely primitive, not like tools. We had tools and stuff like caveman, but like not current. It's not current day. Like there was no machinery like that. No electricity. And I go into a house that has no flooring, like it has like a clay flooring. And I see my mom is making up some kind of a rice dish in this like makeshift kitchen area. And then I see my dad is sitting on this like stone, like hearth thing in the house. And he's like a hulking human being, like the biggest man I've ever seen. And I'm a little kid. And I go to like hug him and like my arms don't fit around him. Right. Like that he was so big. And I know it is Michael. Like it is him. No question. Absolutely sure. And I remember being like, this is the weirdest fucking thing. I like, this is good weed. Like I was so aware, like, I can't believe this is happening. Here's something else, is that my mom in that life was my mom in this life. My mom in this life was my mom in that life. She was married to my husband in this life. So that's a whole, that's a whole thing. So I hug him and then the way that the progression of this meditation goes is it says, okay, I feel this enormous amount of love, this enormous amount of peace. I'm like so excited to have my dad home. I know he's been gone and he's here now. Everything's good. And then it says to like fast forward to the problem. Like what was the problem? And then I'm back up on top of this hill and I'm watching my entire village burn to the ground. So immediately when Michael starts talking to me about this vision, I start like, oh, I've seen you like this. I've seen your big giant feet and I've seen your big hands and your dark skin. I've seen you like this. And I thought that the big problem was the fire. And from a little girl's perspective, that would make sense. That I would think because my dad died in that fire. And my little self in this vision mm-hmm. knew that my dad had died. And I was devastated over the loss of my dad in this life. And I never recover. Like this life is like a sad life. My mom lives, I live, and we mm-hmm. leave that area. And we have a whole other life. And I never really recover from like the loss of this like family. I never recover from the loss of the land, and I don't recover from the loss of the of my dad. I'm trying to think what was the connection that
you
we said had.
You go. Oh, but yeah. In that life, your name was James.
Yes. Yeah. So it asked me to ask the person that I was talking to in the meditation. It said, ask them what their name is. And he says, my name is James. And I said, what's my name? I asked him, what's my name? He says, ask him what your name is. And he says, your name is Lily. So in that life, my name was Lily and his name was James. Fast forward, like, I don't know, maybe a year and a half later, I'm reading an article and there's the name of this church in South America. And it's something, something de Santiago. And then in parentheses, it says Saint James. And I looked at Michael and I was like, this is super weird because the translation of the name James is Santiago. And Michael and I have always had this joke name between the two of us.
When we were dating.
When we were dating, we had this joke name that he would change his name to Santiago. If he ever had like an alter ego, his name would be Santiago, which is so funny. When he was hearing the name Santi repeated to himself, he was like you have to like laugh mm-hmm. a little bit, right? So I'm like, how weird that the name James is yeah. Santiago. So this is before we did ayahuasca. So he had no connection to that name outside of like the joke that we had yeah. between us, that the name that he was in this past life when he was my dad is the joke name that he gave to me when we were dating. Like that's a funny connection.
And then we do ayahuasca even after the year and a half of that, we do ayahuasca at least yeah. a year and a half to 2 years later, having completely forgotten about it. And mm-hmm. so I'm retelling Lindsay this story when I'm still completely
gone
in the moment. I'm still, the medicine is still 100% working in me. I'm laying on the bed. My voice is different. My cadence of my talk is different. Mm-hmm. Everything is different about me, and I'm still Santiago.
Yeah.
I'm like talking to her about what happened and what they did and my anger. And so I'm telling her all this. And then she goes, and I was telling her, I was like, yeah, it was Santi. And she goes, yeah, Santiago, my past life regression. Your name was James, and James is Santiago. And I was like, what?
It was like the wildest thing to have this thing that I did years before come back in this way.
And then, you know, she refreshes me about the story and how she's my daughter. And you know, she, the rest of her life was sad after that. And I got so angry because I was like, those jackals, right? That's what their plan was. Is to create darkness.
Which is exactly what happened. They created darkness in our family line, and I just happened to actually be his daughter in that life. So I experienced that from a totally different perspective. And I experienced it all the way through death. So that past life regression that I did, which we can talk about later, and I've done it 3 times total, but the progression was to go all the way up into my death until I had passed on. And ask like, what happened in this life? What was the problem in this life? And I was never able to actually connect with other human beings in that same way in that life. And that is the thing that would have passed on. Mm.
Yeah.
It ended because I didn't have kids in that life either. Mm. I didn't have kids. I didn't ever get married. I died early and I died without very many friends. I had one friend and her 2 kids that were there to see me die, and that was it. It was a really sad life to like experience in that way. And I was like, oh, okay, well, so when I came out of it, I was like, this is super weird because you were my dad, and there were some exciting things. Like I saw my mom in a different body, and I saw you in a different body, and I saw me in a different body. But it was like all bad news, just like bad news on bad news on bad news. And then he saw that in his ayahuasca.
I saw what started the bad news.
The cause of it, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was ceremony too.
So, okay, you look up and you saw your one clarifying question. And when you looked up and you saw your grandmother in the maestra, was that you just saw her and then kind of fell back and then she kind of went on and did her thing and you didn't have another?
Yeah, because I was out of it.
You were just done. Like laid back.
Yeah.
And you just had these visions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that mm-hmm. was a wild one. Okay, so that's just night two.
That's ceremony two, and then
and we stayed up until, I don't know, 4 a.m. that night, maybe 5, I think, talking.
Yeah.
All right, so then how do you feel the next day? We're going, we have a day off before ceremony 3.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, everybody's just looking for that day off. Everyone's looking for food. Like you could eat dinner that night,
yep.
which is so magnificent. I think we had like good fish that night. It was like,
when I tell you, we look forward to the food.
You so need something like that. You absolutely do. You need that good nourishment. No, it was great. But then I remember like sitting there and I was like, man, that was a heavy night. That was a heavy night. When the facilitators is like, that was a heavy night. I was like, yeah. He goes, usually ceremony three is the heavy night.
Yeah. He goes, usually it's, he goes, I don't want to say like jinx it, but usually ceremony three is where it becomes real heavy. And we kind of looked at each other like, what the fuck do you mean?
I was like, dude, it was so heavy. I took hero shots. Like I was in a whole nother place. Like it was heavy. It was,
I almost like, exploded out of my body.
I said the thunderstorms were happening. The jungle was going off. What do you mean that wasn't a heavy night? Like he was correct. 100% correct. He was correct. Ceremony three was crazy. Crazy heavy.
Okay. So you're feeling okay. Ceremony three. I think that was the first one that we didn't do the yoga on. I think we kind of like stayed in. We listened to some classical music. We did some breathing. We tried to like just get into a really good headspace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that? Yeah, we did skip.
And because it was raining so hard, we were just like, all right, we'll just go down when it's time.
Yeah.
And we like hung out together and just like
try to just
anointed our bodies with oil. Like prepared ourselves.
Really remain calm and in a just not calm, but just stay
present
in a good place.
Yeah.
In a really good place.
Yeah.
To continue this conversation, join us on the next episode of Wake Up the Podcast.